It is your Classic Metal Show right here on the classicmetalshow.com. No, that wasn't TSO. That was the Wizards of Winter with the Salzburg Carol. And for those that don't know, the Wizards of Winter have been out there for a decade playing just a great wintertime concert or festival or whatever you want to call it. It's a traveling winter show. It's fantastic. And on the line right now to talk a little bit about this year's incarnation of it is the guitarist and I believe the main guy himself, Mr. Fred Gorhow. Fred, how are you, sir?
Hey, Chris, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Sure, man. Well, Fred, let's talk about this Winters of Winter project. I'm going to sound like every single fan I know that approaches you here, and I'm going to say, I've seen TSO a million times. I love that, but I want to see something different, and now I've discovered your project. Does that sound very familiar?
It's extremely familiar. We do get a lot of TSO fans that come to see us.
Sure.
Obviously, the Wizards, we're all fans of TSO. We started because of TSO. We originally started as a TSO tribute, but we're a little bit different. We're a little more intimate. Obviously, we don't have the lighting and all that stuff that they have, but slightly more traditional, but it's still very much a rock concert, and we have a narrator who brings you through a whole storyline through his libretto. Sure. Basically, it takes place inside a snow globe, and every time he shakes the snow globe, we appear in a different place and time, and that kind of goes and coincides with the storyline. And the good thing is we could change that up every single year. We've got enough songs now originally that we can pretty much do anything we want.
Sure. Now, Fred, when you started this project, I'm sure you had an idea, and like you said, you grew out of a TSO tribute into your own, you know, individual project. Where does the project stand right now versus where you saw it going to, you know, when you started, or did you even look past the first season of doing it?
In all honesty, it was started by Scott Kelly and his wife Sharon.
Okay.
And and that was initially done. We got together to do a benefit for a food pantry that was running low on money and running low on food. The shelves were empty. So it was basically a one gig kind of a thing, and that turned into two and turned into 10. And then after the first season or so, we were starting to get questions about, hey, where can I buy your album? And we were like, well, we didn't have an album because we were doing all TSO songs.
Right.
But we decided to write some songs, and now 3 albums later, we are marking our first decade and a number of national tours. We've been all around the country a number of times, and it's a lot of fun. It's great, and we have a lot of return fans that have turned us into their Christmas tradition. And if we can't quite make a city the following year, they kind of get a little upset with us, and we try to explain that, you know, it's tough to get to every single place in a short period of time, because with Christmas you kind of have about a 6-7 week window,
right,
that you can actually tour.
No, you're absolutely right. And you know, I guess, and I don't want to just constantly reference the TSO model, but the TSO model,
I have no
really,
problem with that at all.
Well, you know, I mean, it really proves it out to where they ended up having to build an entire second band in order to facilitate the demand. And you know, I almost wonder with you guys, and I've heard the name over the years, but this is the first year for me where I've really seen Wizards of Winter getting a lot more attention. I wonder if it's starting to get to that point, maybe not to that point yet, but to a point where it's grown past, you know, the initial concept. No,
well, yeah, it definitely has grown to that point. Not gonna lie, we have discussed the possibility of forming a second touring troupe.
Sure.
I'm obviously TSO does that. I believe Mannheim Steamroller may even do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because every year we get to a point where we have to turn down a lot of shows that are offered to us. You know, you do a little peek inside. What happens is, you know, usually the agent and the promoter will talk and, you know, we'll kind of pepper the country with dates and kind of figure out how we can route it. But you've got to be able to drive and sometimes fly from one place to the other, but the gear has to go, you know, either way, mm-hmm. the gear has to be, you know, transported by the ground. So we're kind of limited to where we can get during a certain amount of time and try and get as many shows together in certain areas of the country. You know, like I said, we started off in Key West, Florida this year was our first show. We made our way out to Colorado and did some shows out there.
Okay.
New Mexico and Arizona, and then we took a break for Thanksgiving. Flew back to Jersey because we're kind of all centrally located in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area. That's our home base. And then we had Thanksgiving with our families. We had some local shows there and left right after Thanksgiving. And we're now in Indiana today. And so it's, it, you know, you do as best as you can to try and get around the country and visit as many places as possible. But obviously we can't get everywhere in a 6 week period of time.
Sure. Now, Fred, with Wizards of Winter, and I'm going to make an assumption here, and if I'm wrong, tell me so, but it is, I think that doing a project like this is almost like 10 times the pressure that a traditional band would be. And I'll tell you why. People will, if they like the show, it will become part of their holiday tradition. It's not the kind of thing that people see it once and they're like, okay, that was cool, whatever. You know, it's very much a project where if they like it, they're going to come 10 years in a row, 12 years in a row. You know, it's going to be part of their Christmas tradition, which puts a lot of pressure, I think, on you to not only perform every single night at 1,000%, but also creatively to write in engaging new material that peppers the show enough to continually grow. Do you feel that kind of pressure, or am I just leaning in kind of silly?
You're absolutely correct. I don't necessarily call it pressure, but you definitely hold yourself accountable because bands go out and they go on tour all the time. I'm a huge Kiss fan, but I didn't see Kiss every year that they came around.
Sure.
You know, I probably saw them 7 or 8 times during their entire career.
Right.
You know, same thing with Metallica or any other band. You know, I didn't see them every time they came around to my area on tour. I would catch them every couple of years, or maybe there was a time where I didn't see them for 5 or 6 years. But with the Wizards, and I'm sure Mannheim Steamroller and TSO would say the same thing, or even like Brian Setzer when he tours, you know, Christmas stuff with his orchestra,
mm-hmm.
you have people that make that their tradition every single year. So you do kind of want, number one, you always want to give your fan base their money's worth. We're putting on a show, and we always want to give 100%, 110%. But as the years go on, you kind of want to make sure, well, okay, we don't want to do the exact same thing that we did last year. So you want to change it up a little bit, you know, increase your production a little bit, change the storyline in the libretto, and maybe take this song out and put this song in. And songs are kind of like children. You can't pick your favorite.
Right.
So you kind of almost have to judge what gets the best results and what gets the best responses from the audiences and go, yeah, this worked really good live. This one didn't really ring everybody's bell, so maybe we won't do this one next year and we'll put something else in. So you have to be conscious of that all the time, and being in a band, especially something like this where, you know, we have 11 performers, and you have to be very conscious of what you're doing, and that you're not driving the audience crazy with, you know,
right.
8 song epics one after another, because we could very easily fall into that category.
Right, sure. Definitely. Well, Fred, this year's incarnation of the Wizards of Winter, you've made some new additions to the band, including one guy that who's our old friend, and I'll argue with anybody that he's the most underrated guitar player that on this planet, that being Steve Brown from Trickster. Talk a little bit about the additions, the new additions to the show, and what they've added, you know, to the project.
Well, absolutely. Well, Cornelia plays violin now, and she wasn't with us. Alexis as well. And of course, Steve Brown, he's a monster guitar player. I've known Steve for many, many years. I was in a band called Push in the New York, New Jersey area while Trickster was coming up. And so I played all the clubs with Trickster. We were on the same bill with them many times till they got signed and got huge. But I can remember Steve as an 18-year-old kid, 17-year-old kid, and he was a killer guitar player then. And he's gotten better since then. Sure. And he's probably the sweetest guy you would ever want to meet. I can't say enough about him, and I'm thrilled to have him out. You know, it's a great time. We talk about old times, we make new times, and we always play around a lot on stage. You know what I mean? It's a great time, and I think it's entertaining.
Sure, definitely. And you know, it's a funny thing with Steve. I think because he was in Trickster, it literally limits the amount of attention that he gets as a guitar player. Cause that guy, I mean, if you've really seen him play, which you obviously have, that guy is on the Eddie Van Halen, George Lynch level. And he just never gets the praise for that.
Yeah. Well, he gets it for me. I'll tell you what, because I've been a fan of his since probably 89.
Okay.
You know, he's a great guitar player and he's got chops that'll, I put him up against anybody. And, you know, the stuff that we write is a bit challenging as far as guitar is concerned.
Sure.
And there was never a thought that he could play anything. He'd play anything that we, you know, put down. He's a great guitar player and as humble as they come. And he deserves way more attention and way more credit. The fact that he gets, you know, calls from Def Leppard and stuff speaks volumes. You know, and Dennis DeYoung, you know, they don't call Slash people to play with them. And,
right.
Steve's at the top of his game, and he gets better every day.
Absolutely, man. Well, Fred, when you're putting together a show like Wizards of Winter, you know, for the new season, how long does it take to craft the next year's show? I mean, do you start in June or July or October, or does it? How long does it take not only to craft it, but then to work out any changes, additions, subtractions, whatever, with the band itself?
It really depends on the year. Like this year, we recorded a new album during the year, so it kind of started around the March April time frame because we were going in the studio in April, so we were putting together. We had some stuff already written. We had some ideas that we had to put together and turn them into songs. So I would say, you know, around March we started, we went into the studio and we recorded. All the tracking had been done and then mixing and mastering and everything by July. And then that got taken care of. And then rehearsals really don't start until about 2 weeks before the tour starts. But there's preparation going into, okay, what songs are we going to do? And rework the libretto to fit the song order. And yeah, it's almost a full year kind of a thing. It's not full time all year, but something has to be done in January, February, March, because we're already currently right now, we've already got shows booked for next year. Next year's tour is already starting to, and it's starting to fill up.
Right.
It's not like we have two booked. We've got a number of shows and a number of other offers that we're entertaining and starting to figure out the routing that's going to happen next year and where are we going to start off, where are we going to end off, and how can we, you know, put shows to get from here to here to here to here to here. So that it's all year. It's not full time all year, but it starts to get busy right in the spring where we got to, you know, really start zigging and zagging and making plans.
Look, in 2019, 2020, that's a very good problem to have for any musician. You know, so many musicians
struggle. There's no question about it. Listen, we're not teenagers.
Right.
I'm sure you can tell by our photos. So I consider myself very fortunate to be able to do that. People still want to come see me play. So I'm thrilled with that. And it's a good problem to have.
Sure. Now, obviously, and I know you're well aware of this, music does not sell like it used to, the actual physical product of music or even MP3s or whatever. It just doesn't sell
Absolutely.
Like it used to. But doing a project or a road show like Wizards of Winter, where people are engaged in the project, does that give you an advantage over a traditional band to sell music
because
people
does.
Will buy it at the shows?
Yeah, it absolutely does. We're very fortunate in that regard as well, because it affords us the opportunity, you know, while we're on tour to present our music. You know, we have it out here, you know, physical CDs, which don't sell anymore, but we sell a whole lot of them.
Right.
And it does really good. We do a meet and greet after every show, and we do not charge for that. It's not like we expect anybody to pay $30 or $60 or $500 to meet us.
Right.
After the show, we come out into the lobby, we sit down, we'll take pictures, we'll sign anything they want. And if they'd like, they can purchase our CDs, any one of the three. And we've got plenty of merch for them to glom up and fill up stockings with and all that. So,
sure.
Most of our audience usually comes out to do that. We're kind of busy for about an hour after the show, still meeting and saying hi to fans. And it's a great time, and it definitely gives us the opportunity to get our music out there. And I think that's why people keep coming back.
Sure. No, definitely. It's, you know what, it's, and I can only speak for me, and I'm going to see the show for the first time here in what, 2 weeks, I guess, here in Canton.
Awesome.
At the Canton
cool.
show. And I'll tell you what it is, the attraction is it's far more than just music. I mean, we can go, I go to 2 to 5 shows a month, you know, and I see shows, but I don't get to see like more of a presentation. And it's that combination of, I don't want to say theater, because that's really not accurate, but it sort of fits. It's the combination of rock and theater.
It's not too far from the truth, because we're more than just a traditional rock concert. Mm-hmm. And I've been in metal bands my whole life.
Sure.
And you know, you get the typical go out and you play a 40-minute set. And, okay, the next song is called blah, 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 mm-hmm. and it's about this. And everybody tip your bartenders, you know, all of that kind of shit that you usually have to do.
Right.
But this is very different in the regard that we do have a storyline. It is a show. It's just mm-hmm. not a little, you know, a concert where we're, you know, this is the name of the next song. You know,
right.
it's very much, it's not extremely scripted, because what happens during the show, we don't have like, okay, you make sure you're standing over here. You make
right.
sure you're standing over there. There's not a whole lot of choreography, but the show is planned out, and it's designed in a certain way to follow a storyline, so we can, you know, search for the true meaning of Christmas, and it brings you to that crescendo at the end, which is, you know, I love our first set. I love all the songs, but our second set really starts to set the mood to when we finally close the show, you go, oh, now I get it,
right.
You know, and it works really well. And that's why people keep coming back, because it's inspirational. It's funny. It's sad sometimes, because we don't ignore the fact that sometimes Christmas really fucking sucks for people.
Right.
It really does.
Mm.
You know, and you can't just gloss past that. And I've had people come up to me that saw us years before and said, you know what, I wasn't sure what to expect, but God, it made a difference to me. And so I had to come back.
Sure.
And you know, that means the world to me. If you can get a fan that makes it a tradition, you've got a fan for life, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, you could go back and listen to, you know, maybe 15 years ago, I guess it was, you know, Poker Face by Lady Gaga. You
right.
never hear that on the radio anymore,
mm-hmm.
but you'll hear White Christmas 1,000 times
right.
between Thanksgiving and Christmas on the radio.
Right.
And that's what, 70 years old, how that song
yeah.
came out. You know, it's so if you get a hit for Christmas, it's a hit forever.
Right. Well, and again, you know, we reference TSO. How popular has Sarajevo become? I mean, it went from being a metal band,
Maple.
You know, it was a song that missed with when it was with Sabotage, but then when it got
on Ted Was Your Dad.
Yeah, now it's literally a staple for all audiences. It's amazing.
It totally is. It totally. And I remember the first time hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
on a metal station in New York, and I was like, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Where did this come from? You know what I mean? And that catapulted them.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, there's plenty of meat on that Christmas bone. So
yeah.
it's, you know, right now there's a lot of bands out there doing it. The ones that I know of mostly are us, TSO, and Mannheim Steamroller. And then, of course, there's plenty of other touring acts that are doing Christmas stuff. But,
sure.
If you can make a dent in that area, it's it can make a difference. You know, we're able to do this now and we're able to tour the whole country.
Sure.
With two full coach tour buses, two drivers, two long trailers to haul all the gear, and
right.
we're out with 20 people. So it's an actual production. It's not four guys set up your amps and then play a 40-minute set.
Definitely. Now, Fred, I have to ask you, and this is one that I've asked several of my friends in the business, Jeff Scott Soto and Caffrey and whatnot. How difficult is it for you as a, I would say that you are definitely a metal guy, you know, whether it's Dark Sky Choir or just, you know, it just sounds like you're a metal guy. You're much more in the camp of listening to Metallica than you would be, you know, something soft. How difficult is it for you to make that transition to being contemporary or presenting yourself as somewhat contemporary, you know, on the stage and kind of building your reputation almost away from what you are at heart?
It's not that difficult because I'm a music lover first.
Okay.
I mean, I love classical, I love jazz. So it works really well for me at least to transition into this, and we're very much a rock concert.
Sure.
Disguised as a Broadway show, disguised as a classical concert, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I still have my moments where I can metal things up, and that's kind of what I bring to the songs, is the metal edge. But yeah, there is somewhat of a transition because, of course, we make it snow and there's bubbles and all kinds of stuff. But it's Christmas, so you can kind of get away with being a little bit campy, and people love it and they eat it up. And so do we. It makes for a really good time. So if there's anything that would be like that I wouldn't traditionally do with a metal band, we've got a couple of jazzy songs and a couple of little bluesy upbeat numbers, I would say, something that you wouldn't do with a metal band, you could pull it off with this, and I do it with a smile on my face and enjoy the shit out of it.
Excellent, man. Well, Fred, the tour is happening now. It is the Wizards of Winter. I suggest everybody go. I'm definitely going to see it on the 17th, I believe
17th.
It is, here in Canton.
Yes.
Where should people go that are listening to find out where the tour is going to be and keep up with Wizards of Winter?
Well, I would say go first and foremost, go to www.thewizardsofwinter.com.
Okay.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Our tour dates are all posted both on the website and on our social media. And YouTube us and Spotify us, and you'll be able to hear what you're in for. And I suggest you get out and check it out, too, and bring your family. Our audiences are literally 6 to 8 years old to 85 years old.
Right.
You know, come out and check it out. The entire family loves it. Like I said, if Aunt Joan is visiting, grab her and bring her, too, because she'll love it as well.
Very good, man. Well, Fred, as a tradition on the show, we always let the artist pick a closing track from one of their releases and maybe tell us a quick story about it. So what would you like us to wrap this one up with?
You know what? I'm going to be a little bit selfish with this, and I would say Coventry, what do we call it? We call it Season's Lament, and that's off of our second release. And I kind of designed that song based using two different pieces of music. The first one is the Coventry Carol,
okay,
and the second one is Paganini's Caprice 24. And I combine those with Scott, our keyboard player. The Coventry Carol is kind of, I guess you would call it a deep cut as far as Christmas carols are concerned, because it's not as popular as Jingle Bells. But it kind of harkens back to when King Herod ordered the slaying of all male children under the age of 2 years old because he was afraid of Jesus Christ. And it's a very dark and foreboding, but it kind of sucks you in, the Coventry Carol. It's anybody that's not familiar with it, Annie Lennox did an amazing, amazing, amazing emotional version of that exact song. And then it picks up and then jumps into Paganini's Caprice 24. It's a kick-ass song, and it features my guitar work. So I'm going to be selfish and suggest that one.
All right. Well, then we'll answer your selfishness and play it right now. Check it out. It is the Seasons of Lament. It is the Wizards of Winter right here on your Classic Metal Show.
At Nathan's, we don't care. We don't care if you love ketchup or hate it. Buy plain buns, sesame buns, add extra pickles, or leave them off. Or use a knife and fork. We don't care if you eat fast or eat slow, like your mustard, hot or mild, or are a one or two frank type of person. Because all we care about is making the best possible beef franks so you can get along famously with whoever you're with. Nathan's, get along famously.